Thank you, Charmaine and Aaron and Keith and Marilyn and Praise Team for bringing our music to us this morning. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? That's why we're here to celebrate communion. That's why we're here to celebrate the message of these windows all around us. I bring you greetings from Will and Peggy. They're up in Portland this Sabbath, spending time with Pastor Will's mother. Early this morning, I found out that Pastor Chris wasn't going to make it this morning. I am humbled that he has entrusting to me the message which he himself prepared to deliver to you this morning, both the PowerPoint and the message itself. Today is number 12 in the Windows of Grace series. Today features next to the last of all of the stained glass windows in our church. How many of you remember Pastor Roger Ratcliffe? 25 years ago, he was engaged in a vast remodeling of our sanctuary, and we have him to thank that we have such a beautiful sanctuary to worship in today. All of the windows, except the one that Pastor Darren's going to talk about next Sabbath, were brought in by him. He was preaching a sermon from this pulpit when the inspiration came to him for the largest window, which is out at the entrance of our church. He designed this window, and it depicts the mission field, our medical mission, including the hospital, and the third angel's message. He envisioned it as celebrating our church serving all facets of life. Our church member, Dr. Elmer Harder, sponsored and donated the window in honor of his parents, who were pioneer missionaries in Brazil. And they established the very school where Marilyn and I had the privilege of serving for 5 years in Brazil. These windows you see around us were installed in 1987. And next week, Pastor Darren will be telling us about the window behind me, which is the only original stained glass window in this church, which was installed and designed by an art teacher at San Diego Academy, Bill Steinbach, in the year 1956. Would you join me for prayer? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Looking at what is taking place in our society today, we can say that there is no place in the world where it is safe to live. Just last week, we all know about the school shooting, which claimed 27 innocent lives, which caught the attention of the whole world. How many of this kind of stories continue to unfold in our society? It looks like there's no safe place to be anywhere anymore. Tears flow, but they cannot bring back someone's life. Many today are desperate. They are anxious. They are fearful. Fear has been in the heart of man ever since the entrance of sin. Genesis 3, 8 to 10 tells us, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man, and he said, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." God did not create Adam and Eve to be afraid of him. He created them to talk to them and to fellowship with them in the cool of the day. God's intention is for us to live forever. God doesn't want us to get sick. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to be broken. He doesn't want us to be lonely. He doesn't want us to have to hide from him, but to live in his presence for the ceaseless ages of eternity. But all this was suddenly altered when sin entered our world. The fear and the desperation that were brought on by Adam and Eve's sin is still evident today. And it's going to continue until Jesus comes again. The message today is that God has a solution to man's desperation. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. But these man-made coverings are not the best for man. God has a better alternative. He has a better choice for us. Genesis 3:21 says, "The Lord God made garments of sin." For Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. When God made the garments of sin, someone or some animal had to die and to shed blood. This shedding of blood is the beginning of the gospel. While God is making these garments of skin, the mission of God to restore man in his own image started. The mission of salvation has begun. The gospel was given to man so he can live eternally with God and can see God again in the cool of the day. The blood and the death of that slain animal cannot save man, but it was the commencement of the gospel that would come through Christ. "Now, brothers and sisters, now I have made known to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul states that the gospel is that Christ died for your sins and for mine. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." Christ is the gospel in person. He is the gospel lived out in you and me. The mission of our church is to preach this gospel. Our mission statement says, "The mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to make disciples of all people, communicating the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' messages, leading them to accept Jesus as their personal Savior." This is the mission of the church. This is my mission, and this is your mission. This is what the front window at the church entrance is telling us. It depicts the mission of the church, sharing the gospel of Christ as found in Christ. Revelation 12:6 tells us, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, to every tribe, to every language, and to every people." As we move closer to the edge of eternity, the pain of humanity will be more intense, and the fear in the heart of man will continue to build up. This fear is caused by what? This fear is caused by the absence of Christ in our lives. The world needs to know Christ. The world needs to have hope. The gospel should be sounded louder and louder. You see in the window that Christ is giving the Holy Spirit and the symbol of a dove. Again, the mission statement reads, "We pursue this mission under the guidance and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit." The dove is a perfect symbol of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Christ was baptized that the Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove. A dove is a symbol of peace. The mission of the church should be carried out in a peaceful way. The church is empowered to bring peace and calmness to every broken heart. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit is living water. Christ said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this, he meant that the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. When a person accepts Christ, he has the privilege of receiving the Holy Spirit from Christ. Note that the Father gave us Christ, and Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. That presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is what makes all the difference in the world. It is his living water abiding in us, renewing us, refreshing us, empowering us, cooling us in our thirst, that gives us life. Another one of the facets of our mission is healing. This is the reason why we operate the largest Protestant health system in the world. Our mission statement reads, "Affirming the biblical principles of the well-being of the whole person, we make the preservation of health and healing of the sick a priority. And through our ministry to the poor and to the oppressed, we cooperate with the Creator in his compassionate work of restoration." God wants to restore us spiritually and physically in Christ through the Holy Spirit. With this conviction, our church has established hospitals all around the world to emphasize Christ as the center of care. This church was established as a partner with the hospital next door, and even though the management has changed, many of our members continue to be part of the healing ministry, not only of this hospital, but of many hospitals throughout our area. The health message centered in Christ is the right hand of the gospel. People should be informed that their bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Many people don't know this. Had they known, might it be that they might have chosen a different path or lifestyle? Another part of the window is the Ten Commandments. Our mission statement reads, "Recognizing the Bible to be God's infallible revelation of his will, we present its full message, including the second advent of Christ and the continuing authority of his Ten Commandment law with its reminder of the seventh day Sabbath." The law of God is still binding to us because it is the transcript of God's will for you and for me. David says, "I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." Every person who is saved by the gospel will walk according to the Spirit and delight on the law of God. Because we walk in the Spirit, we submit ourselves to God's law. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. When we receive the Spirit, we start to seek holiness, and holiness comes through becoming more like Christ, through becoming children of His, and by obeying His law. The mission of the church is not only to make people happy, to heal people who are sick, to fix marriage problems, to encourage those who have financial frustrations to stand firm in the Lord, to help someone to find a suitable life companion. It does all of these. We encourage people not just to be happy, but also to follow the example of Christ and to be holy. God wants us to seek for happiness, not only to seek for happiness, but to lead holy lives. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Hebrews 12:14. I want to see my Lord someday. How about you? Many Christians today are walking the path of happiness, but they forget the path of holiness. Actually, happiness is not the path to holiness, but the path to holiness is, but the path to happiness is holiness. Let me say that again. Happiness is not the path to holiness, but holiness is the path to, but the path to happiness is holiness. This is why the law of God is binding on us. Many lives are broken because they break the law of God. Many are living in desperation. Remember that in every man's desperation, there is always God's solution. God's solution to man's desperation is Christ. Because when you have Christ, then you have everything. Experience him yourself and share him with others. That's why you and I are here today. Today we're going to celebrate our Lord's life and death for us and our hope in his soon return through the foot washing and the communion service. The next part of our communion service may be new to some of you. We follow our Lord's example as found in John 13, where he washed the disciples' feet. Then he commanded you and I to do the same. This service reminds us that we are at the foot of the cross, we are all equal. Before God, not one person is better than another. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a caregiver in the medical system. Doesn't matter if you're the pastor or if you're the custodian of this church or a church member sitting in the pew.